I told the first service that the louder you say amen, the better I preach. And man, they were on it this morning. So you got your work cut out for you. Can we, someone just say amen? Amen. Say, preach it, pastor. Come on now, there we go. All right, we're going to have fun today. Let's jump right into God's word. Have you ever seen a tiny acorn? Can you just imagine a tiny acorn in your hand today? Acorns are there, they're small, ordinary, easy to overlook. It doesn't look like much, but hidden inside of every acorn is a little seed that has the potential to be a massive oak tree. Isn't that incredible? Out of this little seed can come a massive oak tree that could stand for generations and generations and decades and decades and decades. This tree can stand strong. What's the difference between an acorn and a giant oak tree? Is the difference potential? No, it's not potential. The difference is growth. That's the difference. And just like our faith today, we all not only have the potential for growth, but the truth of this is this, that we can grow. The difference between my faith and somebody else's faith is I have allowed the faith that I have to grow. So we want you to grow big, bold faith for Jesus. And the potential's inside you. The seed is there. It is at the start, at the heart of every believer, is the seed of faith. Will you let it grow will be the potential. Will it be the answer today? See, many people think God is looking for giant faith. But if we really take an honest look in Scripture, we see the majority of the time, God consistently took people with a small, ordinary faith, and he developed them and to do extraordinary things in their lifetime. Men and women, he grew their faith to be giant people for the kingdom of God. God consistently takes these ordinary people who allow their faith to grow. See, God's not looking for perfect faith. He's looking for faith that will grow. Will you allow your faith to grow today? Look what Hebrews 12, 1 through 2 says. We also, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which easily ensnares us, it traps us, and lets us run with what? Let's say it together, run with endurance. Come on, you guys can say it louder than that. I know you can. And let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. Looking unto Jesus, who is the author and the finisher of our faith. Endurance is not built overnight. Have you ever noticed anybody, I don't know anybody who's out of shape, who says, you know what, I'm going to get back in shape. And they go out and they buy fancy workout clothes, and they're all excited, man. In 3 days, I'm starting. Mondays, I'm starting. I got my new shoes, make me run faster, and I got my new workout. I'm looking cute, all in this stuff. Oh, girl, you know, you're posting about, you ready to work out. And you get there, and you're ready to work out, and you hit the gym, you know, you're listening to all your favorite songs. Guys, you're playing dun 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 dun. I mean, you're playing all of Rocky's greatest hits, getting yourself pumped up to get there. And you walk in the gym, and you're there for 10 minutes, and you're like, my lungs are on fire. My body is crying. It's like my fat is just like sweating everywhere. My muscles burn. My body aches. Whoever said this was a great idea, they lied to me. This hurts. No one walks in out of shape and gets in shape the first day. No one walks in without endurance and develops endurance the first day. No, endurance is built day by day, week by week, month by month, and year by year. Slowly, steady, endurance is built. It's the same way in our life. Endurance is built day by day, week by week, and month by month. Jesus is the author of our faith. We just read that. He's the author of our faith journey. It starts with Jesus. We put our trust and faith in Jesus. You are the starter, the author of my faith. That, if you're a Christian today and a follower of Jesus, that is not in question. But can I tell you the real struggle is this? Has he become the finisher of our faith? That's where most of us struggle. We don't struggle with giving him the author of our faith. We struggle with letting him become the finisher of our faith. This becomes the real struggle. See, we must all answer this question. No one today escapes this question. And you must answer it for yourself. How do I see God? How do you view God? How do you see God? And how you answer this question will determine if I allow Jesus to go from the author to the finisher of my faith. Many people believe that God is just a man upstairs. I just want to thank the man upstairs. Many people think God is just a baby in the Christmas manger. We celebrate him at Christmas, and then we pack him away with the Christmas decorations until next Christmas. Can I be honest with you? The man upstairs makes great country music. It really does. But it's bad in theology. It's bad in theology because he is the author and the finisher of my faith. He's the beginning and the end of my faith. What are you saying, Pastor? He wants to walk with me. He wants to talk with me. He wants to draw close to me. He wants me to invite him to walk daily with me. He is just not the man upstairs hiding in a room. He came down to this earth so that he could give us his spirit. And he's not hiding in the room upstairs. He's here to be with us every single day of our life. He's the author who starts our faith, and he's the one who walks our faith out. He finishes it for us if we will invite him and let him. Mark 6, look what it says in verses 4 through 6. Remember when Jesus had a hard time ministering in his home country? Look, he goes back to his hometown, and then Jesus told them, a prophet is honored everywhere except in his own hometown and among his relatives and his own family. And because of their unbelief, he couldn't do any miracles among them except place his hands on a few sick people. We see this story playing out that Jesus was looking at them. It says, and he healed them. What happened? And then Jesus was amazed. Look at this. He was amazed at their unbelief, their lack of faith. Can I tell you, Jesus was amazed at their lack of faith. And can we also think about this? It's really hard to amaze Jesus. I mean, think about it. Most things don't amaze Jesus. When you speak the world into existence and you hung the moon and the stars and the sun and the earth, you created everything, it's going to be hard to amaze Jesus. But it says their lack of faith, their lack of unbelief, it amazed Jesus. It was like, dude, everybody else who wasn't raised with me, who didn't see me, who's not so familiar with me growing up, they accept me just at the word of somebody's testimony. But my own family, my own people, they're having a hard time accepting me as the Messiah and believe that I'm God's son because they're too familiar with me. And it amazed them, but they couldn't believe it. What are you saying? It's kind of like this, that there's people in the church today in both services. For an example, maybe somebody sitting on the second row will leave here and go, man, that service was just what I needed. That word spoke right to me. That worship, God refilled me during worship. I received something today from God. I was encouraged of God today. I got exactly what I was needing today from God in my spirit. And somebody else can maybe sitting a few rows behind them And they can leave and say, well, I didn't get any of that. I didn't feel any of that. What's the difference? They're both in the same service. They're both singing the same songs. They're both hearing the same word. What's the difference? The difference is this. One person came expecting God to move, and another didn't come expecting God to move. See, our faith moves the heart of God. And when you show up with an expectant heart and say, I'm expecting God to move today. I'm expecting the lost to be saved today. I'm expecting people to be healed today. I'm expecting to be encouraged of the Lord today. I'm expecting for the word to come alive in my heart today. God honors faith, and God will move when we engage our faith with him. It's a difference. Two things we see in Scripture that really move the heart of God. The first thing was compassion. The second thing was faith. I dare you to do a study this week later on, not right now, but later on this week. Do a study and read in the Bible where it says that Jesus was moved with compassion. We find that a lot, that Jesus did a lot of things because he was moved with compassion. Many times, even when he was tired, and he was trying to escape the crowds, and you know they were big. The multitudes were following him. The thousands were following him. Everybody wanted something from him. Everybody wanted to touch Jesus. Everybody wanted to hear Jesus. And there was times his physical man was exhausted, and he was sliding away to get some isolation, to pray and to rebuild his physical man. And it says that the crowd followed him, and moved with compassion, he ministered to them. I mean, all throughout Scripture, we see this. This really is compassion. We serve a compassionate God. Jesus was a compassionate God, and it moved him. Remember the time the guy showed up in the middle of the night? Jesus is trying to sleep. It's in the middle of the night. Jesus, you awake? I am now. What do I got to do to be saved? You know? And so, I mean, and he talked to them, and he ministered to them. He was often moved with compassion. But the second thing we see that moved the heart of God was faith. Moved by their faith. Moved by their faith. Moved by their faith. It's a common thing. Remember the story of the Roman centurion soldier who showed up with Jesus when they're eating lunch? Hey, Jesus, I need you to come and heal one of my servants. He needs a miracle bad. And Jesus is like, all right, let's go. He goes, no, Jesus, stay seated. You don't have to go to my house. See, as a man in authority who understands when I give the order, the chain of order must be obeyed throughout the army, all you have to do is give the word from here and the sick will be healed. And it says that Jesus was blown away, amazed at this man's faith. He's like, wow, I haven't seen this great of faith anywhere else. My own people don't get it. But this man, a Roman centurion, he sees that all I have to do is give the word, and the authority has been given to me from heaven and on earth. See, it moved Jesus. Jesus was amazed. It moved him, the heart of God. So our faith moves the heart of God. It's important that we develop a bold faith because it moves the heart of God. How do we develop a bold faith? I think Revelation 12:11 helps us see a good picture of how we can build this faith. It talks about defeating Satan, our enemy, and they have defeated him by what? The blood of the Lamb. That's what Jesus did on the cross. And by their testimony. What are you saying, Pastor? When you begin to share your testimony with other people, it builds your faith and allows you to overcome the enemy in your life. You overcome by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of your testimony. So the more I share my testimony, the more my faith is built up. The more I share what Jesus did for me, the more I share how God restored my life, the more my faith begins to grow. The more I can defeat the enemy, and my faith grows strong. When I share it with somebody, my faith grows strong, and then I'm encouraging them as well. 2 Corinthians talks about this in verse 10 through 5. chapter 10, verse 5, says we are to, say it together, cast down, casting down. Let's say it. Ready? Casting down arguments and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. What are you saying, Pastor? I know you may not understand what the proper Greek and Hebrew is for casting down in the Bible, so let me explain it to you. It actually translates to pick up and body slam. Yeah. When you cast something down, you do it with force. It's not, I drop it, or glide down. No, it was a casting down, a slamming down, a monster slam of taking charge of something. It says that when we have thoughts, when we have things that are happening that are battling against the knowledge of who God is in our life, when we have doubts, when we have the enemy attacking our brain with lies and guilt and condemnation, when you have people throwing up words into you about your past, you're to stand up, take those words, and to slam them down, cast them down. Make your mind and spirit obey what God's word says about you. And God's word says, I am healed. God's word says, I am forgiven. God's word says, I am a child of God. What are you saying? That means you won't grow up until you learn to stand up for yourself, right? Just as our children have to learn to stand up for themselves as a part of growing up, the same thing happens spiritually. We have to learn to stand up for ourselves in the spirit, cast down, make my mind concentrate on the things that exalt the knowledge of Christ in my life. See, look at this statement. The strength of our faith will be determined by the reliability of the object we put our faith in. That tells us how strong our faith is. How much reliable are the people, the person, the thing, the God that we're putting our faith in. Example, when my kids were younger, they would come and say, hey, Dad, I want to go down and play with our friends down the street. Is it okay? I'm like, yeah, just make sure you go upstairs, clean your room, make your bed, put your laundry away, and then you can go outside and play. Okay, Dad. Kid number one comes down. Did you clean your room? It's all done. Okay, have a good time. Text me. Let me know you got there. Okay, behave. All right, bye, Dad. Second kid comes down. Dad, I'm done. Wait. Before you leave, let's go check this out together. And I know when I go in there, he probably, or she probably made the bed. Probably did some things away, but there's probably a few things still left out. There's probably some laundry that hasn't still been put away. Like, we're to take that thing and put it in the drawers, right? That's what we, okay. Laundry, dirty laundry goes into the dirty hamper. That's where it goes. Really? I know it's amazing. They get it done. All right, go have a good time. Now you have a third kid that you know. And you just hear footsteps coming down the stairs. You're like, no! Don't even think about coming down here. I know you've done nothing but play video games since I told you, and you really didn't even hear what I said the first time. Go back up there and make sure you make your bed. Put your laundry away and put your dirty clothes where it needs to be and clean your room. I don't even have to check. I know it hasn't been touched. Why? Because I have faith in my kids. And I understand this, that my faith is relying on the dependability, reliability of the person that I have it in. See, our faith will grow when we understand God will not fail us. God will do everything he said he will do for us. Look at this. Our faith will grow when our knowledge of God will grow. When we grow our knowledge of God, then my faith grows. The more I understand the author, the more I understand my faith. The more I understand who the author is, the more my faith will grow. It happens. Today we understand this, and the more I understand how he grows, I like, wow, I understand the author. The author the more I understand his love and his mercy and how big his grace is in my life, the more it makes me fall in love with him. The more I understand my faith grows in him, that he has got great plans for my life. He's trying to discipline me. He's trying to steer me because he's got great plans for my life. When I understand that even when I was living and smelled like the pigs and living in the pig's pen and going and running from him and rejecting him and doing the very opposite of what I knew to do, as soon as I turned my face back to the Father's house, the Father took off running to me. He embraced me with his love. He embraced me with a hug and said, "Daughter, son, welcome home again." That's the kind of love nobody else will give me. That's the kind of love nobody else show me but the Father. And the more I understand God's love, the more I understand his nature, the more my faith will grow in my life. Romans 10:17 says that, so faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. What are you saying? I've got to read the book the author wrote if I want to understand about the author. So if he's the author and the finisher of my faith, then why wouldn't I read the book the author wrote? I know, amazing concept, right? That's what he's saying. We've got to understand faith grows when we read about the author and his amazing plan for our life. As we head to the finish line today, let me give you a couple of quick things for the foundations of our faith I want you to get. Number one, simply this: if you're gonna have faith, you must believe God exists. I mean, you must really believe that God exists. Romans 1:20 says it like this: "For ever since the world was created, people have seen the earth and the sky. Through everything God made, they can clearly see his invisible qualities, his eternal power, and his divine nature. So they have no excuse for not knowing God." Wow. No one has an excuse to say, "I don't believe in a God." No one has that excuse. He said this: "You walk outside and you see the sun. And just think about the sun's purpose, that it is warming the earth. It is growing the things of the earth. It's lighting the earth. But if it was just a little bit closer, we would burn up. And if it was a little bit further away, we would freeze to death. It's hung at the exact spot that the earth needed to provide the things of the sources we need." It's amazing. If the moon was not hung there, the moon allows a gravity pull that keeps the earth spinning on its axis. It keeps the earth into rotation. It tells the tide when to come in and when to go back out. I mean, just think about the moon. I mean, look outside and you see the trees of the field. Not only are they beautiful, and think of the creation that he created, but the trees not only provide a wood source for us, but they also act as a filter, filtering out the carbon dioxide and making oxygen for us to breathe. I mean, it's amazing. I mean, you can't look at your own DNA. Every one of us have a unique personal DNA only to us. And if we took all of that DNA out of each cell and lined it up side by side, they tell us it would equal 10 billion miles in each individual. That didn't just happen by accident. That happened by a creator. He said, you can't ignore creation. You can't ignore what God gave the clouds of the sky. How do those clouds hang up there? I don't know. How do they collect moisture? I don't know. How do they release that moisture where it's needed? I don't know. God knows. I ain't that smart. You ain't that smart. But he is. "Well, Pastor, we came from monkeys or apes." That's what I learned in school. We evolved from monkeys or apes. Okay. You could think that. And if you had certain teenagers, you might think that. I know. But let me just ask you a question. If we evolved from monkeys or apes, why are there still monkeys and apes? That's all I want to know. You answer that, and then we can talk. No, we didn't come from apes. We didn't come from monkeys. We come from an author who is the creator of all of the universe. God says it's impossible when you open your eyes and look that all of this order in the universe didn't just happen. There had to be a creator. And then we must, number two, write this down, that God does not change. I must believe that God does not change. Hebrews 13:8 makes it very clear that Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Let's say it out loud together. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. God does not change. What are you saying, Pastor? I'm saying this. If he did it for Abraham and Moses, he can do it for you and I. Come on now. If he did it for Paul and Silas into prison, he can do it for you and I. If you've ever received a miracle of healing, just raise your hand in the house today. Say, God has miraculously healed my body. Stand on your feet if you've ever received a miraculous healing of God in your life. Just stand up. I want people to see a witness of the look around you. What are you saying, Pastor? I'm saying this. If God healed their body, God can heal your body. Come on now. You got to believe. Let faith arise in the house today. If you've ever had God do a miracle in your finances, stand on your feet today as a testimony. If God's ever done a miraculous work in your finances, look around. If God did a miracle for them, he can do a miracle for you. Build your faith up today. If God ever did a miracle in a relationship, stand up right now. Come on, if God's ever done a miraculous thing in a relationship in your life, look around. If God did a miracle in their relationship, God can do a miracle in your relationship. We serve a God who's the same yesterday, today, and forever. God still honors faith because faith honors God. I must believe that God doesn't lie. I must believe that God doesn't lie. Number three, many people in this room grew up without a positive father or role model in your life. And that can mess with your brain. I get it. You didn't have a dad that was present, or you had a dad that was abusive, or you had an absentee father, or you had a dad who promised you all sorts of things and never kept the promise. He said he would do this and he didn't keep his word. He said he'd show up and he didn't show up. He said he would take you here and didn't. I mean, all kinds of father issues are present in the house, if we're being honest today. And that can mess with your mind. That can, because we talk about a father, and you're like, man, I don't have a good view of a father. So it's hard for me to picture God different because my mind is seeing through the filter of my disappointment in my own father. But I just want to encourage you today, even though your own father didn't show up, even though your own earthly father disappointed you and broke promises, that I want to reassure you today that our God is not a deadbeat father. He's not a deadbeat dad. If he said, I will never leave you, he will never leave you. If he said, I will be as close as the mention of his name, call upon his name, he will be there. He keeps his word. He keeps his promises. I must understand it. God cannot lie. It is impossible for God to lie. Hebrews 6:18 says it right there. So God gave him both his promises and his oath. These two things are unchangeable because it is impossible for God to lie. And the last thing, we must believe. We must believe in God's great ability. We must believe in his ability. Remember when God told Sarah and Abraham, Abraham, I'm going to give you a son. I know you had no kids, but you're going to be the father of a great nation. Many nations are going to come out of your seed. One thing, we don't have a child yet. Second thing, we owe. And I'm not talking about little owe. They really owe. We're talking like Moses. I mean, we're talking about Abraham, like 100 years old, and Sarah's right behind him. And when God told Abraham, and then he tells Sarah, Sarah, I'm going to give you and Abraham a son. It's going to come out of your body. She laughed. Can you blame her? She's like, are you serious? You mean this man right here in this walker right here? God, I'm just going to be honest. His motor hasn't been running in a long time. Of course she laughed. You know me? I've been way past the childbearing years. I've gone through the change decades ago. Some of y'all hot flashes right now. You know exactly what I'm talking about. She laughed. You know what God's response was to her? He asked her this question. Let's look at it. Let's say it out loud together. This is what God asked Sarah. Is there anything too hard for God? Let's all say this together. Is there anything too hard for God? One more time. Is there anything too hard for God? And the answer is no. That's the God that you serve. There is nothing too hard for God. God does not lie. So as we bow our heads today, Father, we thank you for your word. It's changing us from the inside out. You're building us to have bold faith. And I just ask you the question today, where does faith start? Where does bold faith start? It starts with, have you made Jesus the author of your faith? He can't become the finisher until you make him the author, the start of your faith. How do I do that, Pastor? Well, the Bible says we must believe that Jesus was the Messiah, God's only son. We must believe that he lived a perfect life here on earth without sin. But yet he took our sin and our punishment and he gave himself up on the cross in our place. Took the weight of sin and punishment on the cross. And on the cross he died for our sins and the sins of the world. He was buried in the tomb, and on the third day, he was resurrected again, seen by over 500 eyewitnesses that saw the resurrected Jesus, and they heard him say, I will return again. The Bible says, when I put my faith in the finished work of what Jesus did, that I can now become a child of God. That becomes the author of our faith.